We welcome you to Live from the Pullman National Monument, our global cast magazine format talk radio show, where we discuss all things culturally economic development, i.e. tourism, and we hold informative conversations on the arts, music, business, and people. I'm your host, Dr. Lynn Hughes, founder of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, a National Park Service site in Chicago, Illinois. Good day to you, my listening audience, and we thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Today's show is brought to you by the Pullman Messenger Magazine and Hughes Peterson Publishing, partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, and the Chicago Neighborhood Initiative. In the tradition of this program, live from the Pullman National Monument, we've established coming on explaining to you, the listening audience, about the Pullman National Monument. The Pullman National Monument is a thematic district. The themes for the Pullman National Monument are labor and architectural history. The town is famous for its Queen Anne 18th century, 19th century architecture. The town was built by George Pullman, who was the owner, creator, founder of the Pullman Railcar Company. Mr. Pullman built the town for the people who worked for him. Well, most of the people who worked for him. He built the town to provide housing for the people who worked in the factory. They were carpenters, cabinet makers, machinists, that kind of thing. And he wanted to build housing for them because he wanted to ensure that they had a place to live that was close to his factory, in that he was a very astute businessman, and so providing housing for his employees that was steps from his factory meant that he could always count on his employees being at work and on time. But Mr. Pullman had two categories of employees. He had those employees that I just named for you, and he also had African American railroad employees who were the onboard crew for the Pullman Railcar Company. They did not live in the Pullman Company because they were African Americans, and because of the racial climate and conditions of that time, they could not live in Pullman. So the people who worked as the onboard crew for the Pullman Company lived in a community in the city of Chicago known as Bronzeville. So the connection for African Americans to the Pullman National Monument is that they worked for the company that was located in the Pullman National Monument. But the recognition for the people who were working for the Pullman Company as the onboard crew, most specifically the ones that the claim to fame are the one that brought the most distinction, and those who created history with the Pullman Company were the Pullman Porters, who later became known as the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. They were the formulators of the first African-American labor union in the country. They were the first to win a collective bargaining agreement with a major U.S. corporation, which happened to be the Pullman Company. And so that is the significance for labor history for the Pullman community, or the Pullman National Monument. Most specifically, it is the Black labor history connection for the Pullman National Monument. President Barack Obama designated the Pullman National Monument, the community of Pullman, as a Pullman National Monument in February of 2015. And so we are basically catching up, if you will. There were a number of entities. We were already here, already doing what we do, each of us in our own respective niches, before President Obama designated the area. Case in point, there is the Historic Pullman Foundation, who operates a house tour, an annual house tour. And they have been doing that, I believe, for 40 years. And it is well attended, well established, and quite successful. They are housed at the Pullman Visitor Center that is at 111th and Cottage Grove. Then there is the Pullman Factory, which is most famously referred to as the Pullman Clock Tower. That is the building that was the site of the Pullman Factory, where they actually made the train cars, and it was the offices of the Pullman Company. They are also at 111th and Cottage Grove. That particular property is now owned by the state of Illinois and has been, I believe, for maybe 10 years. But that building is not open to the public on a daily basis. You visitors may go to that factory and tour the building by appointment only. The Historic Pullman Foundation, which is at 112th and Cottage Grove, is currently shared with or shared by the National Park Service and the Historic Pullman Foundation. The National Park Service is currently working on building or building out their visitor center, which will become the official visitor center for the Pullman National Monument, and it will be physically located in the Pullman Clock Tower. But until they finish, they are currently sharing the space at the Pullman Visitor Center, which is at 112th and Cottage Grove. I'm not sure what the name is going to be once they finish, because you won't be able to have two visitor centers, but that is where they are physically operating out of now. Then you have the Hotel Florence. It was the hotel that was in place for people who came to visit Pullman. It is now under construction, and we are still not clear what that's going to be. You can visit that as well by appointment only. Then there is the Greenstone Church. The Greenstone Church has a history. Its significance is that is because the bricks are green limestone that was distinctive at the time, and apparently it still is. That's number one. The second thing is because of the organ that is there, which apparently has major significance. And then, of course, there's the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, of which I happen to have the honor of being the founder. It is a 22-year-old African-American labor history museum. And while it is small in size, the historic significance has national acclaim in that it is the first African-American labor history in the U.S. It is the only one of its kind worldwide. The museum is open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 11 to 4, and the admission is $5. I make a point of saying that because all of the buildings that I named in this discussion are owned by the state or the federal government, and so they do not charge an admission because they don't have to. We're not in that capacity yet. We do not have a written agreement with the federal government that would allow us to have a free admission, but we're working on it. We have one new restaurant. It's called the Pullman Cafe. It is at 113th and Champlain. So I hope that provides you, the listening audience, with the kind of information that you need for your visiting of the Pullman National Monument. Each of the entities that I made reference to has their own individual websites, and you can follow them. But of course, You can visit the A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, and the information that I have provided for you is displayed there on each entity under Pullman National Monument. So I hope that that provides you with information that you need that will help better help you understand what's going on with the Pullman National Monument. We are going to take a quick break and come right back with our first guest.
Visit the PullmanPorterMuseum.com, where you can purchase an annual membership at the level of your choice. And, of course, visit our website here to find out more about the show live from the Pullman National Monument at bbsradio.com/live from PNM to contact us.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another show. We have Mr. David Whitaker, President and CEO of CHU Chicago.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Jason Lesnevich, who is Neighborhood Tourism Manager for CHU Chicago.
Good afternoon.
And Mr. Al Orendorf, who is Director of Corporate Communications.
Good afternoon, Doctor. It's good to be here.
Oh, I'm welcome to you all, and I'm very excited about having the three of you here today. Of course, as you know, the focus of this show is tourism, and that is all it is about. And so we always want to have, or we strive to have, interesting guests and conversations so that we can share with our listening audience all of the different layers that exist under the broader umbrella of tourism. We are embarking upon a new series of shows with Live from the Pullman National Monument, where we will have a live guest in our studio who will be able to help us, shall we say, uncover, explore in depth a little more about tourism, as this show is a national and an international show. We want to begin to interact more with our international visitors. And so this show is twofold. It will be how to look at different ways to tap into the untapped market of African-American tourists and the international tourists who we want to welcome and invite to the city of Chicago. Chicago is a wonderful place. It has so much to offer. And despite all of the things that the media has to say, we think that Chicago is an absolutely amazing place to visit. And so people should not believe all of the hoopla that they hear and see on the news, because we have so much to offer and we want to share that with visitors. And so the group that is with us today in studio, who better to talk about tourism than this group of gentlemen? We have Mr. David Whitaker, whose reputation precedes him as being a veteran tourist professional. And Jason Lesnevich is, you can't find any better person to talk about neighborhood tourism. What he's done for neighborhood tourism in the city of Chicago is absolutely amazing. And Mr. Orendorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Is brand new to me, and so all I can say is he's a nice guy.
That's a good start.
He'll grow on you, Doctor. He'll grow on you.
So why don't we start or begin with you folks just talking to the audience about telling them about CHU Chicago, who you are, what you do, what kinds of things you plan to do, and how you're helping us launch this new series of conversations about tourism.
Well, Doctor, I'll jump in, obviously. First, thank you for giving us this opportunity. We're honored to be with you. Your reputation precedes you as well. And, of course, being part of the Pullman National Monument, we're so proud of that national attraction. It's significant in its history with us and our storytelling of Chicago's past and future and present. So again, thank you for giving us this opportunity. I also applaud you for this show, a chance to share the Chicago story, both again, the past, some of the traditions and histories, but also equally, if not more important, what's happening today and what can get visitors and potential visitors excited about learning more and ultimately traveling here. So again, thank you for this opportunity. And I look forward to hopefully in the future being your guest many, many times as we go on that journey together. Clearly, you talk about visitors, and every city has that expectation. We are just ended a year, in fact, our calendar year, and our mayor proudly announced that we had exceeded, for the first time, over 54 million visitors, and we're thrilled with that. In fact, the mayor has a goal of, he set that goal 7 or 8 years ago, of getting to 55 million. At the time, I think we were at 39 million. I was not part of the Choose Chicago family, but the mayor's vision has been in place for quite some time. We can do better in terms of attracting more international visitors. We welcome over 1.5 million international visitors, but again, many other cities that we are envious of, whether it's Miami or New York or San Francisco, you know, they're in the 6-7 million visitor range, and we have an opportunity to do that. I think Chicago's story can be told in new places, and we invite your listeners to learn more about Chicago that will be of interest to them. So again, thank you for giving us this opportunity. Clearly, visitors want to know what makes Chicago different. Why should we go there? We've been to New York. We've been to California. We've never been to the United States. Whatever their position is, we need to give them compelling reasons to choose Chicago, no pun intended. Oddly enough, of course, we're here in Black History Month in February. The United States designated February as Black History Month. I'd like to think that in Chicago, Black History is every day of the year, not just Black History Month in February. But that does give us an opportunity, and the Pullman National Monument is part of that history and some of those other compelling stories. Jason, in his role with us, managing and directing our cultural tourism initiatives, spends a lot of time. We have a wonderful program when visitors come here. And Jason, I'll encourage you to give that website, because we're shamelessly pushing websites, but it's a visitors who come here can actually get guided tours into the neighborhoods. And it's a wonderful program. It's staffed by amazing volunteers who help give personal guided tours. And Jason, talk a little bit about that program.
Yeah, that's the Chicago Greeter Program, and it's a network of about 210 volunteers. And a visitor signs up ahead of time online, chicagogreeter.com. You go online, you fill out a form of what your interests are, and we always ask you about your neighborhood interests. Once that form is filled out, you're matched up with one of these volunteers from Chicago. They meet you downtown at the Cultural Center. They take you on public transportation, and they show you what they love about the city. And many of the greeters love the neighborhoods and all the various attributes that go into the neighborhood. So neighborhoods really get showcased through this program, and it's heavily geared towards internationals. About 54% of the participants are from international destinations, and because we're part of the Global Greeter Network, there's multiple services throughout the world, and Chicago is one of four in the U.S., so it really differentiates us that we have this great service that highlights our wonderful neighborhoods through the Chicago Greeter Program.
That is a very interesting. You just made me aware of something that I did not know, and that's significant for us because, oddly enough, our international visitorship at the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum has grown. I want to say it might have been about a month ago, we had a bus of about 70 people who were Chinese visitors. And so they had an interpreter with them. Some spoke English, some did not. But we're always curious to ask the question, why did you choose to come to our site? And what was interesting is that our director has established a practice that when we get international visitors, he always makes this little video with the famous iPhones. So I want to say about maybe a couple of weeks later, one of the local newspapers was doing a story on the museum, and the person that they sent to take the photographs happened to be Chinese. And so I was sharing with her the experience. And so I said to her, we have this video. I would love to know what they said. And so we played it for her. And as she watched the video, she started to smile, and I could just see her body language. And I said, well, what did they say? Mm-hmm. And she said they said that they were so happy that they came. They wanted to know more about the African-American experience. They wanted to learn more about late Black labor history and civil rights. So that was very interesting and informative to us. But what was most gratifying for me was that I had the opportunity to know what they were saying on the video.
You know, our neighborhoods are attractive for so many of those reasons. You know, we have a wonderful downtown cultural district, if you will. But as you know, all throughout all of the great neighborhoods of Chicago, there's great stories to tell. There's historic sites. There's great arts organizations. And so, you know, the possibilities with our neighborhoods are really endless in terms of visitation and what visitors have the opportunity to explore here.
You know, Doctor, speaking again, because of our celebration of Black History Month, the context of this show, you know, other areas where we have a proud history and known around the world, our brand around the world, is clearly music is another one of those examples, whether that's jazz or blues. And again, the history is there, and some of the amazing artists, Muddy Waters, Buddy Guy, Chance the Rapper, who just came home with 7 Grammys, our own Chicago young man, so we're so proud of him. But that tradition of music, whether it be gospel, soul, blues, that's a very, very rich territory for us to promote our reputation, our traditions, and then what's going on today. So, you know, a perfect example of that is we just announced that the Rolling Stones exhibit, which was first in London, appropriately so, and then has been touring and is in New York City as we speak. We just had a press conference with the mayor and in late April, the Rolling Stones exhibit called Exhibitionism, little evocative there, will be at our Navy Pier, our number one attraction here in Chicago, and we'll be here for several months. And it's interesting, the Rolling Stones, who all of our listeners, your listeners, know quite well, the name Rolling Stone was actually inspired by Muddy Waters, Chicago's own Muddy Waters. The song was Rolling Stone on one of his albums. And those young men at the time, Keith Richards and other Rolling Stone band members, Mick Jagger, of course, got so excited about blues. In fact, they just released a new blues tribute. But it's interesting, the Chicago name, Rolling Stone, was in fact the inspiration for the name of the band.
And I think if you asked any of the members of the band, they would tell you that much of the origin of their music came from here, Chicago. To David's point about blues, certainly jazz influences. We have an incredible music history here in Chicago, and I think that has informed the arrangements and vocal stylings of bands, rock bands, and other music artists from all over the world. And I think that's well known. Going back into the 20s, everybody knows who Louis Armstrong is, and he is mostly associated with New Orleans. But the reality is that when he came to Chicago in 1923, here is where he cut his teeth. Before he began recording with King Oliver and started really making a name for himself, he began his process toward superstardom here. That kind of history, I think, is very rich and is a story that I think deserves to be told and retold.
And music, of course, remains prevalent today. In fact, we have a number of music events, the festivals that we enjoy over the summer. In fact, we have 2 major festivals centered around blues and jazz and soul. Jason, I again defer to my resident expert.
Of course. You know, the festival season kicks off, as you probably know, with Gospel Fest, a celebration of a modern art form that really started here with Thomas Dorsey and Mahalia Jackson, of course, 2 great names in the gospel music industry as pioneers here right next door in the Bronzeville neighborhood, running right into Blues Fest. And, you know, Mark Kelly, the new commissioner of DCase, is really excited about new lenses on all of his festivals, and he's really bringing in Rhyme Fest is going to be part of Blues Fest, and he's going to have a new modern twist to it, not just the classic art form, but how blues really led to rock and roll and beyond. And, you know, so Chicago, you can't speak enough about our music legacy, and even from our house music leading to electronic dance music. And what's going on currently in Chicago's music scene with Chance and his peers are absolutely amazing. And so there's such a great music product currently that you can experience here in the city. And then, of course, after blues, you get into taste, and then, you know, it really ends with a wonderful series of jazz fests, from the downtown wonderful jazz fest downtown in our parks in Millennium Park to the Hyde Park Jazz Fest, a wonderful, wonderful festival. And I believe Englewood has a jazz festival, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
And shameless promoters that we are, all of these festivals can be found on our calendar of events. Shameless plug for our calendar of events at www.choosechicago.com. But the highlight, again, you mentioned the Blues Fest. The month of Blues Fest?
Yeah, that's always, I want to say, the second weekend of June. I want to say it's around the 11th or 10th this year. I don't have my exact dates, but always that second weekend of June.
But that's why we love it, referring people to our calendar. Yep. There's dozens and dozens of music festivals celebrated there at ChooseChicago.com.
And frankly, I think going back to David's earlier point about differentiating Chicago, I think that's one of the things that does indeed do that for people who are deciding where to come to visit, where to come to hold their meetings, where to come to hold their conventions, where to come to bring their families. I was speaking to one of the members of, I think, the Urban Affairs School at Loyola University some weeks ago, and she was talking to me about what makes a city great. And one of the key characteristics that has been borne out by her research is how well a city utilizes its public spaces, how well a city can nurture and cultivate opportunities for people to come together and people to come together consistently and hopefully in large numbers. And those urban areas that can do that and do that well and can do that sustainably are the ones that are seen as special places in the minds of the people who come to visit. And I think to David and Jason's point, Chicago has a history of doing that exceedingly well, just as using the festivals as just one of many examples of how to utilize its large open spaces to encourage people to meet each other, greet each other, and to enjoy fellowship and have opportunities to come and spend time with their families.
I think all of the examples that you have just provided attest to a mindset that I have about tourism. And that is when people feel comfortable, they tend to interact with each other on a more positive level. It really does. And as a former entertainer, I know that music has the ability to cross age, gender, ethnic, and economic boundaries. And it's something that people gravitate toward, no matter what the nationality. I think that the emphasis that Mary Manuel has on tourism and his genuine interest in utilizing tourism as a tool to boost the economic growth of the city. I think that he hit the jackpot when he brought David Whitaker, someone who has the experience, the expertise, and the insight to look at tourism for what it really means, what it can do on multiple levels, I think. I happen to think that tourism is a tool that can be used to address many problems beyond attracting tourists. Because when you talk about neighborhood tourism, when a community feels like they count too, it will make a difference. It will make a difference. And so people like the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum and the kinds of things that can happen in a community like Bronzeville and the Pullman National Monument can make a huge difference. I think that for the most part, it is an area that has been overlooked and no one has seized the opportunity. And so someone like me, who may not be able to impact the thought processes of politicians and people who make those decisions, I think they're missing the boat.
Well, thank you for the compliment, but I tell you, I applaud the mayor's vision and his passion for his city. And a lot of mayors who have made names for themselves around the country have made tourism a priority. A great city to visit is also a great city to live, work, and play in. And so city building is at the heart of what tourism can do for a city. It employs, in our case, over 140,000 men and women are employed in tourism. It generates millions and millions of dollars of taxes. And those visitors, our visitors, those coveted visitors, including your listeners, our listeners, are an engine that really can help fuel an economy for a community. You know, in this world we're in, they're building less and less manufacturing plants and mills, and the service economy and the tourism economy are booming all over the country, all over the world. And visitors now have a chance to travel. You mentioned China, fastest growing market. And what would make a Chinese visitor, or a German visitor for that matter, or anyone from Europe or South America, Central America, any country, why would they choose to travel to the United States? A lot of choices. Again, I mentioned some of the iconic gateway cities, New York, San Francisco, California, L.A., what have you. What would make them notice and choose Chicago? And that's our mission. And so it does go toward making sure that whatever they're passionate about, and oftentimes the neighborhoods give us that, and that's one of Chicago's real strengths. We have a wonderful downtown. We have a world-famous Millennium Park and Magnificent Mile and Michigan Avenue Shopping, Lake Michigan. We have these iconic, world-famous institutions, et cetera. But it's the charm and the uniqueness of the neighborhoods that often are what attracts international visitors who are looking for off the beaten path. They're looking for that charming boutique. They're looking for that interesting, evocative museum. They're looking to trace some of their heritage, perhaps, especially in the case of talking about the African-American narrative and experience in this country, which Chicago has been a leader at, whether it's been the part of the final stop of the Underground Railway back in the day to just a thriving business and tourism economy today, the music industry using chance as an example. So again, it's those neighborhood experiences, food, museums, culture, boutiques, shopping, parks and recreation, all those things matter to our international visitors, and it gives Chicago a great platform to tell our story and to invite people to learn more and more.
This is just an amazing conversation that we're having. Let's take a quick break and come back with more of the show.
Port Hughes Peterson Publishing by visiting thepullmanmessenger.com. and purchase an annual subscription. It's just $12 a year. Or purchase an Anthology of Respect by Dr. Lynn Hughes, available on Amazon.com.
And we're back. We left off talking about neighborhoods, and I just know that as we about to end this segment, I would be remiss if we didn't hone in on some of the amazing sites and attractions that Chicago has to offer in the African-American communities, or that are representative of the African-American culture. And a shameless plug for me would be for those who are interested in African-American history, heritage, and culture, and civil rights and Black labor history. The National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum is an amazing place. We happen to have a National Historic Registry of African American Railroad Employees. And that registry is a database of, I think it's around 7,000 names of men and women who worked for the railroad in the late 1800s up to, I want to say, the 1940s. So these names that are in the database, descendants who are doing genealogy searches and searching on their history, they can go to the museum's website. It's PullmanPorterMuseum.com, and click on the National Registry tab and search for a relative. And if the descendant is not there, if the descendant has enough information, they can insert their information in that database. That is thanks to the courtesy of DePaul University, who put the registry online for us, which is a fabulous addition to our inventory. And Al, you made a comment about the special place that Chicago is representative of in terms of Black history and culture.
Yeah, I am a bit of a history buff myself, and I don't think you can find a better example of the African-American experience in the United States than Chicago. For those folks who have an interest in exploring that experience, everything from the fact that Chicago was settled by a man of color. Chicago was founded in 1833. From its position as a destination of the, one of the destinations for the Underground Railroad, to the, one of its key points of destination during the Great Migration, which transformed the city demographically and otherwise, to its history of ongoing, evolving civil rights, to its current music scene. Everything is here. The history of the African-American experience is very broad and deep in Chicago. It's everywhere. And I think that is an incentive for people in the United States and outside of the United States to come to the city. I have a friend who lives in the Netherlands. She works in international business. And Chicago has been her and her family's vacation spot of choice for over a decade, in large part because of everything else I'd mentioned, in addition to the fact that she sees the resources and amenities here to be second to none. And her other reason for coming every year is something that I don't think we've mentioned, is its people. I think you and I, the people around this table, are among Chicago's biggest selling points. There is something to be said for the Midwestern attitude, and it's representative here. I think the openness and welcoming of Chicago's people is not something to be taken lightly, and I think visitors will tell you that they recognize it and appreciate it for what it is. And that is not always found.
We often have international visitors. And what is most gratifying for me personally is when they leave, they seem so grateful that for the experience, which is a very, it's a different twist. And it's the international visitors who are so humble and they're demonstrative in their display of the appreciation of how much they appreciated the visit. And so it's all of the things that we take for granted that people who come from other places make us realize that we're taking those things for granted. And we've had visitors from the Netherlands, and we've had visitors from China, and we've had visitors from Switzerland, all of these places. And we always think about, why did they choose us? And so now that we're part of the National Park Service and we're part of a national monument, that international visitorship has increased tremendously. But I think it's something to be said about the point you just made about the Midwest's approach or interaction, the ability to interact with people, the humility. I think people feel that.
I agree. I have to say, I do volunteer for our Chicago Greeter Service. So when I get to take a couple out or a small group of people, you know, they're very appreciative of that. People stopping them on the street anytime they look lost. How can I help you? And they feel that it's genuine and that, you know, it's a very welcoming city. And I would agree with both of you.
And that's not a small thing, whether you're here with your family on a vacation or whether you're at a convention or a meeting. Just to feel that you're welcome and that that you're not by yourself and that you're part of a larger experience. For me, anyway, that's certainly an incentive to return to wherever it is I happen to be, because I feel that the people there want me to come back. And I've shown them some level of respect for the resources and the specialness in the community that I'm working in or visiting in. I think that's a real thing.
And I'll say something about the hospitality community in Chicago. I do love to travel, and our hospitality community, from the hotels to the restaurants to anyone that touches a visitor, is one of the best hospitality communities I've ever came across. I've never had better service than in Chicago.
Second to none. Second to none.
It's not a bad place to get a good bite to eat either, huh? You know, Doctor, speaking of hospitality, obviously we've covered so many of our aspects, whether it's the history or the music scene. You know, our reputation as a food city is second to none. In fact, we host annually now the James Beard Awards. The James Beard Foundation does amazing work all over the world, celebrating the best of the best of chefs from all over the world. And they chose Chicago to have their annual Grammy Awards, you know, Academy Awards, the James Beard Awards. So whether it's food, whether it's music, whether it's the attractions that we have probably our city, in my opinion, second to none in terms of our public spaces. Millennium Park, of course, the centerpiece of that, but literally dozens and dozens of parks, inclusive of national parks, just amazing city spaces where visitors can enjoy, whether, as Al said, with their family, or whether here for a romantic getaway, or just really with a group. We have one of the finest city public park systems in the country. It doesn't hurt to be on beautiful Lake Michigan. Winter or summer is a spectacular time. I love the fact that we have four seasons. A lot of destinations in the United States may be a beach destination or a natural destination that really focuses on one aspect, skiing or the summer. Clearly, Chicago being a year-round four-season destination. And right, four seasons, football season, basketball season, baseball season. But again, and in speaking of national brands, clearly to have an NBA franchise here, a Major League Baseball, two Major League Baseball, including the world champion. We like to say world champion. Maybe for your audience, we should say American champion. But the Chicago Cubs, of course, hockey, I mentioned basketball. So we have a major sports scene that is of interest to visitors. We have, through polls, our Chicago Art Institute was ranked the number two museum in the world. So kudos to our friends in Europe, but the number two museum in the world. And we have an amazing arts scene here, of course. So there's just so much to offer to an international visitor. I'm very excited about the potential of Chicago. We just want your listeners to find an excitement that gives them a chance and a sincere invitation for them to learn more about us. Again, one way to do that is www.choosechicago.com. But more importantly, just a chance to, and again, in the case of this show, thank you for this platform, a chance to invite visitors to learn more about Chicago and compelling reasons why, whether they're celebrating their own heritage and history, whether they're looking to learn more and more about other aspects of history and culture, but also just to have an amazing vacation experience.
It was indeed a pleasure to host you gentlemen today.
I hope you'll have us back.
I intend to ask. I hope that you will come again often. This show is unique in that I think we're the only one that talks about tourism. And I just think that it is something that was needed. And my mother used to have a saying, if you see something that needs to be done, don't just stand there, go do it. And so, ergo, the creation of Live from the Pullman National Monument. But we don't only talk about the Pullman National Monument. The goal of this show is to talk about tourism destinations and opportunities and have enlightening conversations about tourism worldwide. And I applaud you for the work that you do. I thank you for joining us today. And I treasure this opportunity and hope that you will come again.
Thank you, Doctor. And again, thank you for your time today.
It's been our pleasure.
I appreciate it.
You are most welcome.
Come see us in Chicago, everyone.
Welcome to another edition of Around the Museum Table. I'm very excited today with our guest who's on the live line, Lanisha DeBargeladen. I hope I got it right.
Perfect.
Very interesting name.
Thank you, Dr. Yu.
You are so welcome. Now, Lanisha is Senior Vice President of Education and Exhibits at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History in Detroit, Michigan. And I've anticipated this visit. I've heard over the years, I've heard about the Charles H. Wright Museum, and I will not take away from the time that we have to allow you to just expound about the museum. You can talk about yourself a little bit and then share with our listening audience some of the hidden treasures and some of the programs that you offer at the Charles H. Wright Museum.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hughes, for having us on the line. We're so excited to share information about the Charles H. Wright Museum. We have really just been so thrilled about meeting and going beyond our 50th year. We were founded in 1965, but we began symbolically even back in 1918 when our founder was born. We were founded by Dr. Charles Howard Wright, who was born into a family that really valued and promoted education. So Dr. Wright went on to receive his education at two HBCUs. He studied at Alabama State College and Meharry Medical School. And it just made sense that when he founded this museum in 1965, it was established as a place for people to learn. So it's always been an educational museum, first and foremost, because we know that when people know better, they do better, and they are better. And so the mission of the Charles Wright Museum is to open minds and change lives through the exploration and celebration of African-American history and culture. We're so excited about that past, the very solid, strong past upon which we stand. But we're also excited about what's going on today at the Wright Museum. So we are one of the nation's largest African-American history museums, 120,000 square feet. We have an amazing exhibition, a moving emotional experience called And Still We Rise, which takes visitors through the entire African American experience from ancient Africa to the very present. And it pulls individuals into the full story of the Black experience. And people from all over the world come to the Charles Wright Museum and experience this place in new ways each time they visit. There's always something new to learn and discover and enjoy. People even from countries that don't even speak English come and are moved and are inspired because of the stories that we tell that they resonate with. Because we tell the story of just overcoming the odds, and we all have had to face the odds and obstacles in our lives, and we find ways to overcome. And those are the stories that we tell, both the stories of tragedy and of triumph, of struggle and of success. And so the Charles Wright Museum is a very special place. We have traveling exhibitions, temporary exhibitions. Currently, we have a wonderful exhibition called I See Me, Reflections in Black Dolls. And that exhibition explores the history and symbolism of black dolls. And we have some jewels, some absolute jewels in that exhibition, some really fun dolls and some dolls that are historic, dolls that were made by black doll maker Leo Moss, a very rare black dolls and figures in there, and some dolls reflecting famous people, Serena Williams, First Lady Michelle Obama, Oprah Winfrey, their dolls replicating those figures. And we have another exhibition that we just opened called Shaping the Vessel, and it's a beautiful exhibition. It's an art exhibition that looks at the woodwork of two significant African-American artists. So we are just excited about what we do here. We offer over 350 programs a year. People can come to this museum to do everything from, we have an aerobics class called 30 Days to Lose It. We have a dance class called Hustle for History. We have a host of dramatic plays, film screenings, lectures and panel discussions, programs for children and young people, teens and families. So there's really something for everyone at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History. We're so excited about it.
Wow, you just made me tired listening. Yes, it sounds like such an exciting place, and I just love being able to provide this opportunity for you to share with the listening audience information about the museum. And I will say before I back up and let you continue that you are welcome to come again. We invite you to come again, and we can talk offline with the producer to arrange that. But I would love to have you to come again so that you could talk more about the museum, because it sounds like they're very similar circumstances with Dr. Margaret Burroughs, whom I don't know if you ever had the pleasure of meeting, but they were colleagues, I understand, and she was a man. I would invite you to come again, and we'll just work it out, and I would love to have you to come again and talk more about the museum. And so now I'm going to zip it and let you talk more.
Well, thank you for that invitation back. I would love to come back and talk more. Thank you. Yes, Dr. Wright and Dr. Burroughs were colleagues and friends in the field, and I did have a chance to meet Dr. Burroughs. My very first meeting to the Association of African American Museums, I met Dr. Burroughs and was just inspired being in her presence. Both her artwork and her presence and her contributions to the field of Black museums is unparalleled. We are so fortunate to continue to celebrate her legacy and Dr. Wright's legacy with the Burroughs Wright Fellowship produced by the Association of African American Museums. So there is so much more to talk about regarding those two individuals. But the Wright Museum itself is a jewel in the cultural landscape of both the city of Detroit, the Midwest, the nation, and the world. We have a wonderful research center and library where we have a rare books collection. We have a significant collection of African-American historical resources, archives. We have over 35,000 objects in our object collection, which we pull from to produce in-house exhibitions as well as some exhibitions that we take out. We have a variety of programs throughout the year from January through December that engage and inspire and motivate people. We hope what we're doing is helping people to see the possibilities and to inspire them to learn more and to grow more. So we start off our year with a very large King Day. We celebrate Dr. King with a commemorative breakfast. This year, 2017, Reverend Dr. C.T. Vivian was our keynote speaker for our King Day. We're now in the midst of a very, very full and robust Black History Month, where we're open every day of the month of Black History. In March, we celebrate Women's History Month, and we're so delighted that one of our keynote speakers for our Women's History Month will be Congresswoman Maxine Waters. That will be on March 31st, and we're really looking forward to hosting her here at the Wright Museum. April is Jazz and Poetry Month, and we have a variety of spoken word and poetry performances during April. We also celebrate jazz sessions during that month. In May, we have what's called the Ford Freedom Award. In our rotunda, which is the central gathering space of our museum, when you first enter the museum, we have a beautiful floor mural called the Ring of Genealogy. And on that floor are the names, it's a ring of names with in gold plates of ancestors who sacrificed and gave in significant ways to the Black freedom struggle. And we add a name to to that ring of genealogy each year. And that happens during May at our Ford Freedom Award. So that's a big annual celebration. In June, we commemorate both Juneteenth as well as Black Music Month. And in July, we launch our Camp Africa, which is an exciting free summer camp for young people. We host 5 weeks of Camp Africa, and children can enroll in whichever week. It's a one-week summer camp, a day enrichment camp, free breakfast, free lunch, and just a thrilling curriculum that keeps kids learning.
Oh, my goodness,
through the
summer months.
It's ongoing.
Lanisha, we're coming to a close, and that is why I said early on we want to invite you back, because I just knew you were going to have tons of information to share with our listening audience. This has been just a treat for us to be able to host you, to have you come on and talk about the Charles H. Wright Museum. Everybody, join me in thanking Lanisha DeBartoladen, Senior Vice President of Education and Exhibitions at the Charles H. Wright Museum, and we will bring her back again to visit us here on Live at the Pullman National Monument. We thank the visitors from Choose Chicago who stopped by to visit us today. This has been a fantastic show. Everybody, thank you for sharing with us another informative show on the ever-expanding topic of tourism. Thank you to the listening audience for spending part of your Sunday with us. And a very special thank you to the Pullman Messenger Magazine, United Auto Workers Local 551, and Choose Chicago. Thank you to our fantastic engineer, Mr. Don Newsom, smooth jazz artist Jonathan Fritzen, for allowing us to use his music on our show every week, and last but not least, you, the listening audience, because without you, there would be no show.
Live from Pullman National Monument was brought to you by Hughes Peterson Publishing in Chicago, Illinois. Hosted by Dr. Lynn Hughes.